Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one U.S. Senator think of the new infrastructure bill that passed the Senate? Let's go in-depth with Senator Chuck Grassley from New Hartford. Senator Grassley, what did you learn in your visit to Pella today?
The significance of the infrastructure bill that I voted for that passed on a bipartisan margin of 69-30, that it's going to benefit the workers here in Pella that are connected with this company because they're already in the business of putting fiber optic in the ground for better broadband, but on a bigger basis than just for this company, I think COVID has made very clear the necessity for better broadband, both on the standpoint of distance learning for the school kids that can't be in the classroom, and for telehealth, and just to have rural Iowa connected fully with everybody having the same service that you can have in Des Moines, Iowa, I think is a very significant reason for this bill. Another thing is you heard about the bridges being safe brought up. Iowa is 50th of the 50 states in the highest percentage of our bridges that are structurally deficient, in some cases probably unsafe, and the extent to which that's 23%, I think, speaks for the necessity of having this infrastructure bill. And I was glad I had the chance to vote for it, because 4 years of Trump, we didn't have a chance. And now I've been hearing during those 4 years and all of this year how we need infrastructure.
Well, I'm just puzzled, and we don't want to, you know, sort of focus too much on the past, but you and I talked a lot about infrastructure all during the Trump administration, and we both presumed something would happen, and it didn't. Do you know why?
I think there might be two reasons, but I never had any discussion to answer your discussion, answer your question. But I would suggest, number one, probably some Republicans thought it was too much money. And probably some Republicans felt it might lead to an increase in the gas tax. And for some reason or other, our leadership of the Republican caucus doesn't want to increase the gas tax. Number two, maybe the Democrats wouldn't want to help it along because it might give Trump a win.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation about infrastructure and jobs with Senator Chuck Grassley. We're like at a critical point where something has to be done, so it's good that's being done. But there were a lot of reports about what was in that bill, and you talked about this a little bit today. Some misinformation was out there, and that you've actually received some criticism for supporting this bill because of the information that was out there. Can you tell us what happened with that?
Yeah, people conflated this bill, which is roughly $1 trillion, depending on whether you consider it a 5-year or 8-year bill, either 900 billion or 1 2/10 billion. They conflate that with the 4 2/10 trillion bill. Some people use the figure $3.5 trillion bill that Biden wants. That is a lot of programs that we don't feel we can afford right now because of the high rate of inflation. And following Larry Summers, former Secretary of Treasury in a Democrat administration, that said we already have spent too much money as far as inflation is concerned. So those things, I think, is what people got mixed up. So they figured you pass this roads and highway bill, this whole thing's going to go with it. But the real success, at least for us Republicans, was having a few Democrats and a lot of Republicans that wanted them separated so we could get an infrastructure bill after about 5 years of talking about it. Because if the two were tied together, we wouldn't get anything.
Now, it was sort of a who's who of Pella business and industry here today. Premier was represented, Pellacor, trucking industry, construction, Central College, lots of other people were here. They were really pushing and supportive of this infrastructure bill.
Yes, because every one of them are community leaders, and they know that, particularly in rural America, the ability to transport and to have communication and all the other things that you do, a country has to invest in. And very seldom is this private investment. In just maybe a few places around the country, there's some private investment in the infrastructure. But most of it is either government, federal, state, or local. And so this is one of the things that even the constitutional writers had in mind, that was a legitimate function of government. Because, you know, back in those days, we had taxpayers paying for canals, as one example. And so it's a legitimate function of government.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation about infrastructure and jobs with Senator Chuck Grassley. Now, one of the things that also these business leaders wanted to talk about was we need more people, that we need immigration reform, and that we need it quickly. And your reply to them, I wasn't exactly encouraged that any of that's going to happen.
I would rather be more positive, but when you figure out the difficulty of getting immigration legislation through the United States Senate, I can't be very positive, because everybody feels that if we got an immigration bill out there, I want this on it and that on it and that on it. So there's three relatively non-controversial parts of immigration that you could probably get enough votes to pass if you could get them up by themselves. One would be unskilled workers, the other one would be agricultural workers, the other ones would be professional people like engineers, as an example. And if you could pass those bills, three of them together or three separately, there's a real need for it. This isn't like I've heard anything different here in Pella. I've been hearing this all over Iowa, not just in 2021, but probably for the last 5 or 6 years.
Now, we didn't have enough people before the pandemic. If you looked at all the people that were on unemployment, and you looked at all the job openings, and if you made everybody on unemployment go to work, you know, just presuming that there wasn't a real need for them to be on unemployment, made everybody on unemployment go to work, we would have been lacking 807 people to fill all the jobs. And so where can they come from? It seems like if we had good immigration reform, that could just put the afterburners on the economy if we had people to fill those positions. I mean, we aren't going to have babies fast enough to fill those open welding positions, machinist positions, truck driver positions, etc. So immigration seems the only way to put the economy on afterburners.
Well, there's nothing you said that I can disagree with. The only thing I can say is the difficulty getting it done. On the other hand, I can also add that when it comes to legal immigration, we have been very liberal in that, about 1 million people a year. But we could probably even increase some of our legal immigration, like H-1Bs as an example.
Well, the H-1Bs are one thing. Those are for the people that are higher up in the administration, or technical people, people that do computer stuff. But what we really need here are people to work on the assembly lines. Yeah. I mean, we need the H-1B too, but we're really lacking for people to help our manufacturing industries.
There's no way I could disagree with you. There's no way I could. Now, I could say this, that as far as domestic workers are concerned, the extent, now this, even this question isn't meant to fulfill all the needs, but we have had some programs that have disincentive to work. I'll give you an example. If you're on what we used to call welfare, you can call it anything you want to now, But when you're getting X number of benefits from different programs, food stamps, et cetera, Medicaid, et cetera, then you know that if you get $1, if you get a job that pays $1 above that, you lose all of your benefits. So we need a plan that encourages people that can get a job, that immediately when you get a job that pays just a little bit more than your benefits are worth, you don't lose everything. That you gradually phase out the benefits you get as you get more income. That would encourage a lot of people to go to work.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to say that the unemployment rate here is, it's like at about 3.3% or something. Again, if you put all those people to work that are unemployment, and they're only for like 26 weeks, it still wouldn't be enough people. And you said something that was very interesting with respect to legal immigration. Why not ramp that up? Why not put that on afterburners?
Well, I guess I'm in favor of that. I would allow more H-1Bs into the country. I have been part of a group, though, that has said there's certain things about the H-1B program that haven't been followed according to the law. And I want some integrity programs put into that. But guess who opposes the integrity program? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, as an example. So I don't know why you can say if you come to this country to work for Company X, and it's in New York City, you ought to be working for Company X in New York City. Or if you're getting a whole bunch of workers under the H-1B program and your company is in Maine where they have low wages, but you assign them to work in New York, that's a violation of the law. And things like that we got to get corrected.
I read something the other day that I thought was a really clever proposal. I'd be interested in what you think about it. That they suggested that turning over the immigration process to the states, and we'll let the states decide what, don't let the federal government mess with this. Let Iowa decide, the Iowa legislature, the governor, how many people that are going to be admitted to fill our jobs, and what kinds of visas, and that you tie people to that one, to a point of employment in the state, and they can leave the state, but they can't get a job anywhere else until they're citizens. But so it solves, I don't know, something that's a national level, but lets the states respond to their particular labor needs. Our labor needs are very different from New Jersey's. What do you think of that? I don't know what, I think it's a clever idea, but I don't know if it worked.
I haven't thought about it enough to answer the question, but I'll give you a constitutional answer. One of the 18 defined powers of Congress under Article 1 is immigration law. So it's meant that you have a national program. Now maybe it might be the same way with the congressional power of Congress that's 100% congressional to build post offices and post roads. Post roads, a lot of that federal responsibility, we turned over to the states. So I'm not saying you couldn't turn over some immigration to the states, but you got to start out with what the Constitution says. And you'd have to find a constitutional way of doing it.
Okay. It's always good to see you in person. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
You always give me that opportunity. And I guess I'll give you a short answer this time. Before September the 1st, I will have finished 99 county Q&As for the 41st year in a row.
Congratulations.
You bet.
Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.